Agartha in Bechoros Daf Chasam and Bez. Okay, Mishra de Sakine b'may kotle. So you can see Rashi. At least we got one line of Rashi on the page, right? Mishra de Sakine. A row, Rashi says, Aruga de Sakine. Sakine, of course, is a knife. We'll translate it as a sword, because we're going to talk more about the Cherev of Esav, the sword of Esav. So Aruga de Sakine. Aruga means like a row in an orchard. So if there's a row of swords, b'may kotrinosa, how do you harvest it? If you're growing swords, so how do you cut them down? So of course, Rabbi Yeshua responded, b'karna dechamra, with the horn of a donkey. Obviously. To which the sages of Athens replied, umi'ika karna lechamra, does a donkey have horns? So Rabbi Yeshua responded, "Umi ikra misha dezakine? Is there such a thing as a field of swords? A row of swords growing in a field? No such thing. See, ask me a ridiculous question, you get a ridiculous answer. However, tonight we're going to learn the sugya of the sword of Esav versus the donkey of Mashiach. Ellie, we tried to wait for you.
What was the line? Mi ikra karna?
Okay, so again, the question, the philosophers of Athens asked, right, how do you cut down a row of swords that are growing in a field? Rabbi Yeshua said, with the horn of a donkey, to which they responded, do donkeys have horns? To which he responded, and do fields sprout rows of swords? Okay, so we're going to learn the sugya of the Cherev, the sword of Esav, which really is the whole Indian of this final gullus. The gullus of Edom is the gullus of Esav, versus the what? Versus the donkey of Mashiach. As the Navi describes Mashiach riding on a donkey. And of course, the keren, the sprouting of the horn, right, a horn which transcends the head, is somewhat like a crown. It's sort of like the crowning of Mashiach. The keren represents a certain grandeur, a certain beauty. So how will Mashiach be able to overthrow Gullis Edom? That's really the conversation here. Okay, but let's try to learn a bi'iyun as we do from the Vilna Gaon. We'll see if we can make sense of any of it. Okay, it says the Gra, Bir HaGra, Mishra de Sakina b'may katle. A row of swords, how does one cut it down? Ratzal Amar, Esav nisbarech v'al charbecha techia. Esav was given a bracha, and it's a very real bracha. It was a bracha from Yitzhak Avinu. V'al charbecha techia, you will live by your sword. The strength of Esav, the success of Esav is the sword. Esav assesses his success in this world by how dominant, how powerful his army is. Esav comes to fight against, I mean, it's so strange. Esav meets up with Yaakov, right? Yaakov's coming, he's got a couple of wives and some children, and Esav comes with 400 men, you know? Like, what do you need 400 men to wage war against his little Talmud Chacham and his family? But Esav always likes to flex his muscles. He gets his chiyus from his cheref, from his sword. That's where he gets his chiyus from. Vinikra ish sada, and of course Esav is called the man of the field. We spoke a little bit about that last time. But that's part of this Indian of a field of swords. You understand? A field of swords, a row of swords growing in a field, is the Indian of Esav's dominance in the world. The cheref of Esav, who is known as the ish sada. Mishmanei ha'aret ye moshavecha. Uparnasaso vizri aso hu cheref. Esav is a man who enjoys the success of the field. He likes to spread out his army. He likes to watch his soldiers march. Right? His parnasa, his plant, the thing that he plants, again, the same way, whatever a person sees as their success in this world. What have you grown? Right? What have you developed? What have you amassed in this world? For Esav, he likes to plant, metaphorically speaking, swords. Vizeh umnuso. And this is his umnus. This is his business. This is his success. This is what he takes achievement in, and takes pride in. So the question that the philosophers of Athens were asking of Yeshua is Behech Yipol. How will he fall? Esav is so dominant in the world. Esav seems to be so much on top in terms of strength, in terms of numbers. We've always been the underdog in terms of, you know, Klal Yisrael is a small people. We certainly don't focus on nurturing our physical prowess, we focus on our spirit, our neshama, our Torah, our mitzvahs. So the question is, how are you ever going to cut down the field of swords? How are you going to uproot this row of swords from the Ish Sadeh? Uksiv Mashiach ben Ephraim sheyimshol al kol ha'olam v'yichla osam. And yet we know that there's going to be what we usually call Mashiach ben Yosef, more specifically a Mashiach that comes from Ephraim, who comes from Yosef, who's going to what? Who's going to fight back? Who's going to destroy? Who's going to rise up and fight back? And that's part of this Chamra in the response of Yeshua. I can destroy Esav with what? With the pride of the donkey, which is the world of Mashiach ben Ephraim, in other words, the world of Mashiach ben Yosef. And we know there's two Mashiachs. As the Gemara describes at the end of Masech HaSukkah, there's a Mashiach ben Yosef, who's the precursor to Mashiach ben David, the Trei Mashiachin. Okay, look at footnote 901 for a moment. He quotes another passage from the Gra, referencing the Raya Mehemna in Parshas Mishpatim, which is the Zohar. We'll just read about 5 lines down, where it says, Od Sham, Va'ikar ha'inyan hu al Mashiach ben Yosef. Shehu arishon legula. Mashiach ben Yosef is the one who begins the gula process. Lakach nemar bechor shoro. The first of the shore. Yosef is compared to the shore. This is the bracha of Yosef at Tzadik. Right? Bechor shoro. I'll quote this pasuk in full in a moment. Mashiach rishon. The first one who's compared to a shore. Kamo sha'amru baraya mehemna, as it says in the Zohar. Aryeh liyamino hu Mashiach ben David gur Aryeh Yehuda. The right side is the lion, is Mashiach ben David, is the world of Yehuda who's compared to a lion, v'hashur l'smolo. But the ox, which is Yosef, is to the left side, Mashiach ben Yosef, sha'asid l'natzeach hakol. Mashiach ben Yosef is really the warrior. Of course, when it comes to fighting Esav, who's a warrior, it's a spiritual type of warrior. Right? But the one who's going to wage battle against Esav, to kind of pave the way for Mashiach ben David in a very peaceful way to conquer the world, right, we need someone to first fight on our behalf. So that's the world of Yosef. That's the world of Mashiach ben Yosef, Mashiach ben Ephraim. Okay, so back up top. So Mashiach ben Ephraim is going to rule the whole world and is going to somehow be able to turn the tide against Esav and his strength. As the Pasuk says about Yosef, Bechor Shoro Hadar Lo. Right, the first of his shore is Hadar, is a source of Hadar, right? Of beauty, of glory. V'karnei re'eim karnav. And his horns are like the horns of a re'eim. The re'eim was a beautiful, large and beautiful creature. V'hem amim yinagach yachtav. Right? With those horns, the nations will be yinagach. He'll gore the nations of the world. Right? From one end of the world to the other end of the world. V'heim rivavos Ephraim. This is the work of Mashiach ben Yosef. Yeah, Rukovi.
I find it interesting that Mashiach ben Yosef is the one that is considered the fighter, when Mashiach ben David is the spiritual one. I would think it's like switched, because
right.
David was the fighter.
David was
the warrior,
soldier, right?
He was the warrior.
Right.
And Yosef like fought up against.
And Yosef had more spiritual battles in his becoming king or Mishnah LeMelech. Yeah, that's interesting. That is interesting. Right. That is interesting.
Part of the duality of like the.
Right. That's part of the right. The duality and the synthesis of Mashiach ben Yosef and Mashiach ben David, kind of the being able to give to one another in a certain way. Yeah, but that is interesting. That is interesting to think about the person Yosef and the person David in that regard. Yeah, that is interesting.
But the animal choice makes sense.
For sure.
Like they'll plow through.
Right. The ox is gonna plow through, and he's gonna have very dominant horns, right? And a horn, again, Karen means a horn, but Karen also means the pride. Right? So we need someone to restore the pride of the Jewish people. So we shouldn't get pushed around. Right? We should be able to stand up for ourselves. So that's the avoda of Mashiach ben Ephraim. That's the world of Mashiach ben Yosef. Aval Esav lo yipol biyado. But Esav, says the girl, will not fall entirely into his hand. Kamo sha'amru ein ben David ba. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin that Ben David is not going to come. Mashiach Ben David will not arrive until first we experience a period of 9 months, similar to the process of a child in its mother's womb, right? Until the Malchus Harisha, until the evil empire, which is a code word for Edom, for the heirs to the world of Esav, is tispashing, until it spreads out over the world for 9 months. Shenemar lechein yitneim ad eis yoleda yolada. There'll be a certain, will be given over in a certain way, the amount of time it takes for a woman to give birth. V'yeser echav yeshuvin al b'nei Yisrael. And then there's going to be some type of getting it together, right? Esav is going to have kind of that last hurrah, that last bit of dominance. Mashiach ben Yosef seems to try to take things back, but then there's going to be this resurgence of Esav, it sounds like, for a period of 9 months, whatever that means exactly. And then the remaining brothers will somehow return to one another. Ratzalomar explains the Gra, what exactly is this pasuk in Sefer Micha referring to. Ratzalomar, Malchus Yehuda Yashuv al Malchus Yisrael, Shehem Malchus Ephraim. That the split kingdoms, so to speak, the kingdom of Yehuda and the kingdom of Yisrael, the world of Yehuda and the world of Yosef, each one is a king of sorts, right? Yehuda was certainly given royalty in the bracha of Yaakov Avinu. Yosef served as the longest Jewish king in all of Tanakh for 80 years. Yosef from the age 30 to 110 when he passed away. The Svarno points this out. He had the longest Malchus. So Yosef is very much Malchus. Right? So we have this unification of Mashiach ben Yosef and Mashiach ben David. And it's sort of like Jack was saying, it's sort of the combination of their strengths, each one being a spiritual warrior and a physical warrior of sorts, that are going to be able to help us to win the final battle. Uva im gogu magog al Hashem va'al Mashiach. So there's going to be this, again, this strange battle, this combination of Esav combining with Gog Umagog. Okay? If you look at footnote 905, you can see it quotes from the Imre Noam, which is some of the Gra's commentary on the Gemara Brachos. It says, Va'acharkach be'elef hashishi, kishiyavo hazman, when the time for redemption arrives, yavo Esav im Gog Umagog. Esav with Gog Umagog will combine al Hashem va'al Mashiachot to wage battle against Hashem, to wage battle against Mashiach, ve'yiplu kulam biyad Mashiach ben David. And they'll all fall into the hands of Mashiach ben David. Okay? Interesting. Something to think about. Esav, the combination of Esav as being separate but combining with Gog u'Magog, and somehow this is the battle that is being waged by Mashiach ben David. So now the question's like this, however. Where did Esav get his strength? Went to the gym a lot. Practiced with his sword. Meaning, how did... And part of the mockery of the sages of Athens is, how do you plan to cut down this sword? I mean, clearly, again, as we've seen many times, they claim, like, look, God has allowed Rome to flourish. Hashem has allowed us to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. Hashem has allowed us to become the dominant force in the world. Right? And they're kind of questioning, you know, and making us question, right, why is it that Hashem tolerates this? We're learning Yesh Kodesh this morning. Hashem sometimes is so well, Hashem puts up with a lot of nonsense before he demands for his own kavod. But there has to be a schus that Esav had to become so dominant, right? There has to have been some merit that Esav had that allowed him, his sword, to be a source of chiyus. I mean, again, he got a bracha from Yitzchak, v'alchar b'chatichya. But we need to understand, where does that merit come from? So says the Gra, everybody knows, Esav had one schus. He had one very big schus. What was the one big schus of Esav? Kibudav. Ki birchas aviv va'alchar b'cha tichya omedeslo. His father's bracha, that you shall live by your sword. His father gave him a bracha, you're going to get a lot of chiyas from that sword. And it's true, it's going to be a very long... Think about this galus compared to the other galios. We were dominated in Babel for a period of time. We were dominated in Paras Umadai for a period of time. We were dominated in Yavan for a period of time. But never did we have such a long galus. So Esav got a lot of chiyus. And a lot of destruction has been brought upon us from that sword. So where did he get that? The bracha of his father, Achar b'chatichya omedeslo. That bracha has stood by him. Ki zchus kibud aviv kayemes. Because the zchus of kibud av is a very, very real thing. Look at footnote 907 from the Igeres Hashmar of the Rambam. He writes, "Ve'im kol zeh, kishehechzik b'mitzvah achas." You wonder, how is it that the Jewish people became the underdogs for so long? But our enemies had a merit. Right? Our enemy Esav has. He was hechzik b'mitzvah achas. Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel in the Medrash says he was jealous of Esav. I wish I could be on such a madrig of Kibbud Av. The Talmud Yerushalmi says Kibbud Av Ha'Em is one of the hardest mitzvahs of the Torah. And somehow Esav did it. Right? And yes, even though there was a manipulative element to it, which is why it doesn't, eventually the schus will run out, but it was a real schus. V'hi Kibbud Av, says the Rambam in the footnote. V'hayascharo shenasin lo Hashem malchus. And in response, in reward for that, he was given a malchus, he was given a kingdom, b'li hefsek atriyavo melech ha-Mashiach. Wow. Until Mashiach comes, Esav is going to have dominance in the world. Kamosha amru alayim ha-shalom, ein ben David ba atriyitol Esav schar kibud ave. That ben David cannot come, according to the pasuk in Zechariah Parakei, achar kavod shalachani elagayim. After Esav gets his reward for the kavod that he gave to his father, and some midrashim even his mother, that became a tremendous schus reis. Now, why does that turn into a sword? So he explains, the Gra explains back up top, because Esav used his sword for kibud av. When Yitzchak says to Esav, go bring me some of that delicious food that I enjoy so much, sa telyecha v'kashtecha v'tzu delit sayid. Take telyecha, and take your keshes, take your bow, v'tzu delit sayid, and go trap me some delicious meat. What's telyecha? Rashi comments on the word telyecha in footnote 909. Telyecha means charbecha. Telyecha, the hanging thing, right, is a reference to the sword. Shederach litlosa, because the way that a person carries a sword is he hangs it off his side. It's dangling from his side. So take your dangling thing, your dangling weapon, right? Take your sword and take your bow and go catch me something to eat. So since the cherub was used to serve his father, that became a source of merit for him. Okay, so says the Gra, four lines from the end of the page, V'zos ha-cherub kayemes lo. And this cherub, this sword, remains as a merit for him. And that's what it means, v'alchar b'chatichya. That's what it means, you'll live by your sword. Think about it. What is the reward for Kibbud Av Ha'Em? The reward for Kibbud Av Ha'Em is long life. Right? So the sword that you use to serve me will give you this prolonged dominance in the world. And that's why it's been such a long gullis for us. Ki adua shekol kiyumo bishvil kibbud aviv. Everything that Esav has, all of his longevity, right, which is the bracha, which is the promise of Kibbud Av Ha'Em, was given to Esav in the merit of what? In the merit of this kibbud av. That's all Esav's got. But it's a lot. If you look at just the bottom line in the footnote 910, just the bottom, he quotes again from the Zohar in Parshas Toldos. We'll read the Hebrew translation just in the last line. And the pasuk says, Ben Yechabedav, Ben Ze Esav, Shelo Haya Adam Ba'olam Shekibed Es Aviv Kamo Shekibed Esav Es Aviv. There was no one in the world who was Mechabed his father like Esav was Mechabed his father. It gave him the dominance in this world. So you want to know why we're in 2,000 years of Gullis? Be nicer to your parents. Really, that's one of the ways we fight back. We take back this schus of Kibbud Av. We try to at least. Okay, not an easy mitzvah. Okay, and therefore, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by the way, signed up. This is a bracha from Yitzchak Avinu. This is the bracha that Yitzchak gave Esav in reward as reward for his kibbud av, which was off the charts, which was like no other. Again, I told you in the Medrash, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel said, "I try to honor my father, and I can't even begin to compare myself to Esav. He would dress in garments of royalty every time his father asked anything of him. He wouldn't talk to his father until he put on his Shabbos clothes." You know, lahavdil. So says the Gra on the last line on page Ayin Beis in the regular text. V'lechein hishira haTorah. Yisrael, top of the next page. And therefore the Torah warns Bnei Yisrael when we were coming out of Mitzrayim and we're going to have an encounter with the descendants of Esav. Atem ovrim b'gvul acheichem Bnei Esav. You're about to pass through the territory of your cousins, the children, the descendants of Esav. V'nishmartem, oh, be very, very careful. Al tizgaru bam, don't start up with them. Ki lo etein lachem yartzam ad midrach kaf ragel. You don't have rishus to take one step in their land. You have nothing. You have nothing on them. This is their time to shine. And again, that leads the sages of Athens to ask the question, so how are you ever going to what? Uproot the swords of the field. How are you ever going to cut down the swords that are growing in the field, in the world of the Ish Sada? Mishmanei ha'aretz yeh Moshe Vecha. The promise the bracha of Esav. Okay, so what's the response? No, what's the response? Two words. Bekarna dechamra, with the horn of the donkey. How is the horn of the donkey the response? We said Esav takes tremendous pride in being dominant. He likes being powerful. He likes being strong. How do you fight someone who's strong? Well, you could try to be stronger, but that's not the Torah approach. The Torah approach is to be weaker. To remind myself that what? That the way to defeat a big and powerful enemy is to hand it over to Hashem. It's not by trying to dominate anyone else, but it's self-mastery, it's taking control of myself, it's humility, it's submissiveness to Hashem. It's like Mashiach described as a poor man riding on a donkey. Riding on a donkey in the world of the Maharal, a donkey, chamor, is like chumrius, is physicality. I don't have to fight Esav in order to defeat Esav. I just need to learn how to control myself, to control my own taivas. If I can control this Esav, the Yitzhar inside me, which is Esav, then the big Esav on the world stage will crumble. So Bekarna Dechamra, when I restore the pride of the donkey, what's the pride of the donkey? The horn of the donkey. Ratzalomar. Biyad Mashiach ben David. Shu'oni rochiv al chamor. Va'al Ayir ben Asonos. If you look at Rashi on those psukim in Zechariah that describe Mashiach as an ani, as a poor man riding on a donkey, Va'al Ayir ben Asonos, that means on like a baby donkey. So Rashi over there in Zechariah says that ani represents humility. A donkey, as opposed to driving a Tesla, represents humility. Mashiach's very pasha. A pasha, a mensch, riding on a pasha animal, doesn't have a strong horse, right? Eilev erechev, eilev asusim. The sus is the world of Mitzrayim, is the world of Esav in a certain way, right? It's power, it's dominance. Mashiach comes, a poor man, in a beat-up yeshivish jalopy, you know?
He doesn't even get the ox,
that's right. We don't even need the ox. The ox is like, you know, Yosef comes out, Mashiach ben Yosef, Mashiach ben Ephraim comes out, like, roars a little bit and like pushes back a little bit. But then Esav takes back the power for 9 months. Like the Gemara said, Ein ben David bach, tispashi malchus rasha, tishach hadashim al Yisrael. And then all of a sudden Mashiach rolls into town with humility, with submissiveness, with bittul to Hashem, with self-mastery, conquering my own donkey, conquering my own physicality. And all of a sudden with that anava, and with that anios, with that, you know, simplicity, that poverty of simplicity, all of a sudden, Esav has nothing on us. That's Rabbi Yeshua's response. That's how we always win. We win by being true to ourselves, not by fighting against you. If our fight against, you know, the enemies of the Jewish people is all turned outward, so that's not the way to win. Hakol kol Yaakov v'yadayim yidei Esav. When the kol kol Yaakov is strong, right, then the yadayim yidei Esav are not present. So we don't have to get into a fist fight with Esav. That's not the derech. If we work on ourselves and submit ourselves to Hashem, right, then Hashem, you know, Hashem will yilachem lachem. Batem tacharishon. You don't have to say anything. Hashem will take care of the whole thing. Okay? So far we're doing pretty good, no?
Yeah.
So far so good. Okay. Okay, now, hang on tight. A lot of psukim. Okay, let's try our best. Uksiv. It says in the brachos in Parshas Vayechi, Gur Arye Yehuda ad kiyavo shilo velo yikas amim osri legefen iro velasoreka b'nei asono kibes biyayin lebusho uvedam anavim suso. Okay, I brought along my article Tanakh. Let me read you the English translation and then we can go back and read it again and break it up. Okay, what is the bracha of Yehuda? A lion cub is Judah. From the prey, my son, you elevated yourself. He crouches, lies down like a lion, like an awesome lion. Who dares to rouse him? The scepter shall not depart from Yehuda, that's the sign of Malchus, nor a scholar from among his descendants until Shiloh arrives, right? Ad yavo Shiloh, and his will be an assemblage of nations. He will tie his donkey, listen carefully, he will tie his donkey to the vine, yeah? Osri Lagefen Iro. Iro means a donkey. So he'll tie his donkey, right? Osri, Matir Asurim. He'll tie Lagefen Iro. He'll tie his donkey to the vine. Vilasoreka, and to the vine branch, his donkey is full, the baby donkey. He'll launder his garments in wine, kibes biyayin levusho, uvedam anavim, and the blood of grapes, which is also wine, suso. Rashi says suso means his robe, also his garments. So he'll wash his garments, he'll launder his garments in wine, and his robe in the blood of grapes. So we have a little bit of the lion imagery of Yehuda. We have a little bit of the donkey. We have the Ad Ki Avo Shilo, which is some Mashiach Dika message there. Right? There's something very Mashiach Dik. Ad Ki Avo Shilo. Yeah, how does it work? What's the matter of Yavo Shilo?
I mean,
what's the matter of Yavo Shilo? Hold on, Jack, 1 second. What's the matter of Yavo Shilo? Shilo is 3:45, and Yavo is another 13 is 3:58. Yes or no? 3:58? Yeah, Yavo Shilo, 3:58. 3:58 is Gematria. Mashiach. Right? Yavo Shilo is Mashiach. That's not my own Ramas. I was just remembering it together with you. Okay, so Ad Ki Yavo Shilo, until Mashiach comes. Right? Velo Yikas Amim. And then his will be an assemblage of nations. In other words, he'll get it together. He'll get the Jewish people together. And then, right, he'll tie his donkey to the vine. The donkey will, so to speak, arrive. We'll see what this vine represents. And then he'll be able to what? To launder his garments in wine and his robe in the blood of grapes. What's going on here?
My question was,
yeah,
what's the difference between wine and blood of grapes?
What's the difference between wine and blood of grapes? What's the difference between Iro and Asono, right? Bnei Asoreka. Bnei Asono, right? Iro is a donkey, and Bnei Asono is the baby donkey. Okay, it sounds like there's multiple donkeys and multiple battles, right? There's Mashiach ben Yosef, Mashiach ben David, maybe. All right, so we have to figure it out. The girl's not going to give us all of it, but let's see what he's willing to reveal to us in code, of course. Va'inyan ki etel Esav ksev. Okay, so in order to understand the donkey trampling the vineyard, so to speak, tying the donkey to the vineyard. And then what? And then dominating the grapes to such a degree that I can even, you know, launder my clothing in grapes. What does that mean to launder clothing in grapes? So the Psukim say in the Navi Yeshaya, Miza ba me Edom. Who is this one who's coming from Edom? Chamutz bagadim mibatzra. Whose clothing, his garments, his bagadim are chamutz, are stained. Who's coming from Batzra with the stained clothes? Madua adom lilvushecha. Why are your garments red? Why are your garments crimson red? Uvigadecha kedorech begas. Your garments look like someone who's been what? Who's been trampling in the press. Pura darachti levadi. Pura means the wine press. Darachti levadi. It's interesting when you see that the word pura has something to do with a wine press. Right? Very interesting. Purim. Right? Purim is actually something to do with this Pura. So Pura Darachti Levadi, I've crushed, right? Darach means to crush. I've crushed in the press on my own. Ume Amim Ayin. Okay, so now what's this describing? What's the Navi Yeshaya describing for us in Yeshaya Perach Samach Gimel? It sounds like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right, is finally crushing, right? Again, Edom. Edom is Esav. Right? Goes back to the red lentil soup. Yeah? Yes. The article here on the side says that Yeshaya chapter 63 is the conqueror of Edom. Right? Who is this coming from Edom with sullied garments from Batsa? This one who is majestic in his raiment, girded with his abundant strength. Meaning it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu fighting the battle for us. It's Hashem coming back from the war. Right? It is I who speaks with righteousness, abundantly able to save. Why is there red on your garment? Why are your garments like those of someone treading in a wine vat? And Hashem's response to us is, I alone have trod in a wine press. Not a man from the nations was with me. I trod on them in my anger and trampled them in my wrath, and their lifeblood spurted out on my garments, so I soiled all my garments. In other words, the blood of my garments, Hashem says, is what? Is me crushing and destroying Esav once and for all. That's what this blood is. And that's why it's not referred to here in the bracha of Yehuda, of Yaakov Avinu, as blood, right? But the blood of grapes. It represents a certain celebratory stain, right? You look at your shirt with stains after Purim, right? Not bad. You know, what Rav Huttner used to say? Rav Huttner used to say that a Haggadah without wine stains, right, is like a machzer without tear stains. You know, your Yom Kippur machzer should have some, the pages should be, you know, a little bit wrinkled from tears. And your Haggadah should be, you know, should have stains from all the previous, right, all the previous siddurim of your life. I like when I can look at my kittel that I wear on Yom Kippur, and even after having laundered it, I like when I can still see that, you know, I still see like a little trace of purple left over from the Seder, you know? That's a sign that you did a good job. You got into it. Okay, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes back, and we're like, whoa, Hashem, you're filthy. He says to Bnei Yisrael, this is a good sign. This is me crushing, trampling Edom once and for all. Okay, so let's look at the words now again. Ayin Sham Kola Inyan. So go learn Perek Samach Gimel. Right? Learn about the restoration of Malchus Yehuda. Learn about the downfall of Edom. Ukamoshe Namar, as it says, and now here we're in the Psukim again. This is such a hard Psukim. At the end of Chumash and Devarim Perek Lamed Beis. Right? The Psukim say, four lines from the end of the right hand column. Kimi Gefen Sidom Gafnam Umishadmos Amora Anavemo Inve Rosh. Chamas teninam yenam, halahu kamus imadi. By the way, these are psukim in the Chumash. If they sound totally foreign to us, it means we have to learn more Chumash. Right? Li nakam v'shileim le'eis tamut raglam. Okay? Let's take a look at these psukim for a second. Again, the words are just so hard to translate. Dvarim lamed beis. Okay, the very poetic words of the Shira of Hazinu. Yeah. Ki migefen Sodom gafnam. For their vineyard is from the vineyard of Sodom and from the fields of Amora. Their grapes are grapes of gall, of gall. So clusters of bitterness were given them. Serpent's venom is their wine, the poison of cruel vipers. Is it not revealed with me, sealed in my treasuries? What's Hashem talking about? Meaning, you've been bitten, and you've been poisoned, and you've been trampled, right, by Sodom, by Amora, by Esav, the Nachash, the poison of their wine. But Hashem says, trust me, is it not revealed with me sealed in my treasuries? Do I not keep score? You don't think I'm keeping tabs? Kadosh Baruch Hu says, mine is vengeance and retribution at the time their foot will falter. That's the last pasuk. Li nakam v'shileim la'eis tamut raglam. At some point, their feet, the foot soldiers of Esau, at some point they're going to collapse, and Hashem says, and I'm going to get my revenge. Rotzalomar. Top of the left column. Shetishalim z'chus Esau, that the z'chus of Esau is going to be shalem, is going to be paid up. Oso hacherev, that sword that Esau was given as a reward for his kibbutav. Ukamosh shenemar, and here's a pasuk we know from Yeshaya. V'kitzu charboisam le'itim. They're going to what? The cherev is going to be what? He's going to be cut down. Again, cutting down the field of swords. We're going to what? We're going to kits. We're going to beat the swords into itim. Into what? Into tools for plowing the field. Yeah. And you know the end of those psukim. Lo yisa goyel goy cherev. Lo yimadu od nuchama. There's going to be the end of all the fighting. Ratzalomer z'chus ha-cherev v'umna sa-cherev shel Esav. All of that is going to be up. And now Esav's weapons are going to become tools for us to build and to restore Eretz Yisrael. And to bring the Jewish people back, and to build the Beis Hamikdash, right, and to plant in our fields, you know, beautiful things for us to enjoy, as opposed to a field of swords. Va'az osri legefen, then that gefen, which is Esav, right, the redness of Esav, those red grapes, all of a sudden osri legefen iro, the donkey is going to be tied to the vine. In other words, the donkey is going to say, "This is my vine now." Mashiach is going to take over. Oso Ayir ben Asonos, this son of a donkey that's described again by the Navi Zechariah, describing Mashiach. And then, like we read in the Pesukim, V'yez nitzcham al-bigadai. Yez is the lashon of what? Of squeezing, of sprinkling. V'yez nitzcham, their eternity is going to be squeezed onto my garments. In other words, their lifeblood is going to, nitzcha means their life. Their life is going to be squeezed out onto my garments. V'chol mabushai egalti. And I'm going to be filthy, but in the best of ways. That this is all a reference, again, in the Navi Yeshaya to the downfall of Rome. B'dam anavim. Right? With the blood of grapes. What does that mean? That's the pura, that's the wine press that Hashem is describing in the Navi Yeshaya. That I'm going to trample Esav once and for all. And kibes b'yayin levusho. I'm going to launder my garments in wine of adam and avim suso, and my robe is going to be red. Right? But it's the red. It's the red of all of the vengeance of HaKadosh Baruch Hu taking back that which is his. Ukamosha kasu tosos v'shmaitza desikrikon v'shem ayushalmi. Those who are sticking around next year in YU are supposedly learning Maseches Gittin. So in Maseches Gittin, it talks about sikrikon. Rashi says sikrikon are evildoers who come to a person and put a gun to their head and say, "You want to sell me your land, right?" Yeah, I do. Especially with a gun on my temple. All right, so they force people to sell their lands. There's whole discussions in Gittin on Daf Nun Hei. The Mishnah discusses what happens if someone sells something under duress and then someone else tries to purchase it. What exactly is the nature of that sale? But Tosos over there, when that Mishnah describes when the rules of Sikrikon applied at certain points of Jewish history, right, from the battles of Yehuda and onward, the Mishnah says, so why is it that we instituted certain rules? So Tosos quotes Yerushalmi, again, not really focused on that sugya right now, but focused on this comment of the Yerushalmi, right, because the Gemara there again says that from the time that there were battles in Yehuda, so what does Yehuda have to do with Sikrikon and Jewish enemies? So Tosos quotes Yerushalmi, Kabbalah biyadam she'ein nofeles ela biyad Yehuda. That Esav was killed by Yehuda. Now I know you're going to ask me Akasha. You're going to say, who killed Esav? Who chopped off Esav's head? Who was it? Son of Dan, whose name was Chushim. Right? Same letters as Mashiach. Ches, Shin, Yod, Mem. Chushim ben Dan killed. I thought Chushim ben Dan. Right? And now we have a tradition in Tosfos from the Yerushalmi that Yehuda killed. So this has to do with the whole sugya. Again, not at all our sugya tonight. The sugya of Yehuda and Dan. Yehuda being the first and the greatest of the Shvatim. Dan being the lowest of the Shvatim. Yehuda being compared to a lion, Dan being compared to a snake, until the end of the Torah when Dan is also then compared to a lion. Okay, so to defeat Esav, you need the combination of the highest Jews and the lowest Jews, and the chibur between all of Klal Yisrael, so to speak, that's alluded to in the world of Yehuda and Shevet Dan. But the point that we're trying to make now in terms of Yehuda, in terms of Malchus, Mashiach ben David, the restoration of real Malchus, and the uprooting of the Malchus HaRasha. So Esav, right? Esav had to fall to the hands of Yehuda. Ukamosha namar, kumi vidoishi basion. Get up and thresh and crush basion. Vizesha amar, ad midrach kafregel. That's what it means, again, when we left Mitzrayim. And Hashem says to Bnei Yisrael, you're going to pass through brother Esav's territory. Be careful, it's not yours yet. But eventually it will be yours. Eventually, pura derachti levadi. Hashem says, when you have the humility, like an oni rochev ala chamor, and you just do your part, which is learning Torah and doing mitzvahs and having bittul to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then Hashem says, I will tie the donkey to the vineyard. I will crush them once and for all. And all those footsteps, I told you, don't you dare take a footstep in Esav's territory when you left Mitzrayim, as described at the very beginning of Chumash Devarim, then ad hayom sheyidruchu beregel osam, till the day that Hashem crushes them with his feet, pura derachti, the wine press will be crushed. And that was Rabbi Yeshua's response. Bekarna de chamra, with the pride, with the horn of the chamor, with the restoration that a humble and simple donkey, right, a Jewish person who's true in his bittul to Hashem, has the ability to defeat the biggest, the greatest of armies, the strongest, the dominance of Esav. You would think, right, that Esav is so powerful. How can we possibly fight back? We fight back just by having self mastery and humility. That's how we defeat Esav. That's how we take back the schus of kibud ave. Okay? So they respond, bottom paragraph, umika karna lechamra. So they say back to us, but is there such a thing as a horn of a donkey? A donkey's so simple. You Jews are so impoverished, like we learned last week, right? When they tried to make us feel bad that if you don't have money, there's not going to be Torah. So can the donkey be a source of pride, of prominence? Can a donkey grow a horn? Haba Ephraim ksiv v'karnei re'im karnav. It says about Ephraim, it says about Yosef, that the shore, that the fighter, at least put up a fight, right? Meaning what they're saying is like, you know, how can you're telling me that Mashiach ben Yosef is gonna try to fight and not win, but then you're gonna defeat us with a humble man on a donkey. At least Ephraim, at least Yosef, at least the Bechur Shoro Hadar Lo, there at least there's some dominance. Karnei Re'im Karnav, his horns are like the horns of a Re'im. Shenimshol LeKarnav LeShur, Afal Mashiach Ben David Nimshol LeChamor, Umiyas LeKarnei. How are you going to defeat us with a humble man on a poor man's ride? How is that possibly going to win? Okay, last paragraph on the page. So of course his response is, Umiika Mishra de Sakine. Do you think that there's even such a thing as a field of swords? Ratzalomer. Azmi Yehe Mishra de Sakine. A little bit of a girsa change here that we have to work out. But basically the punchline is Ratzalomer. Azmi Yehe Mishra de Sakine. Right? Who says that there even was a field of swords? Haloksiv la'es tamut raglam. The time will come when their feet will falter. In other words, all of this is precisely orchestrated by Hashem. They were never dominant. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is paying them back in this world for the schus of Kippur Av. And yes, that's a real schus. And yes, the promise of longevity is the response of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to honoring one's parents. But the time will come when it will be evident that what? That their swords were not really swords. V'kitzu charvosam li'itim. Their swords will be beaten into plowshares. Right? And all of their weapons will be used for pruning the field. And lo yisa goy el goy cherev. It'll be seen that the sword was never as dominant as it looked. This was all part of the master plan of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Sha'oz yishalim charbo shel Esav. Even though you would think again, and I understand why you Romans think. It's been a long time since the Jewish people have been back on top. So I understand why the Yitzhahara tells us, how are you ever going to be victorious? How are you ever going to throw off the oppression of the world? The swords are all lined up. Yeah. How will we ever reclaim our dominance? But the time will come when what? Yishalim charvo shel Esav. That Esav's sword will be paid off. And as the Pasuk says, where is this Pasuk? In Eov. Ha'oso yagesh charbo. Ha'oso, his maker, yagesh charbo. His maker will yagesh charbo. I looked it up before. I don't remember exactly how to translate it the right way. What is yagesh charbo? Will what? The sword will have reached its limits. He of mem yud tes. Let's get a good translation to end. Only his maker can direct his sword up close. Right? Oso yagesh. Yagesh, right. Only his maker can point the sword in the right direction. Kamo shenemar, derachti livadi. Derachti livadi, I trampled alone. Hashem says, I don't need your help fighting Esav. I need you to be a humble, submissive Jew. If you fight your inner Esav, your inner Amalek, if you fight your inner Yitzhara, if you learn how to control your donkey, you can control your physicality, your chumrius. If you can be an ani, if you can carry yourself with humility and not be overwhelmed by the fact that Esav thinks that the bigger and stronger and the more outward they're turned, then Ish Sada, Yaakov is an Ish Tam Yoshev Olim, a simple Jew who stays in the base measures. And that's how he wins. When I call Yaakov, then Eina Yadayim Yidei Esav. It's as simple as that. So that's the response. That's the response. You don't understand how a simple donkey can fight an army. Well, you also don't understand why you had the sword all this time. You never really had it. It was all the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Ha'oso yagesh charbo. The Creator was directing the sword, and when the time comes, pura derachti levadi, the wine press will be trampled. Right? Edom, the Adom, the redness of those grapes will be trampled, and we'll make a lachaim with Mashiach. Uman, yeah.
Creator directing the sword, meaning Hashem is the Creator? Or
yeah, I think so.
Something that popped in my head could be that we possibly create our own Yetzer Haras and we possibly feed into
for sure.
Give them energy and we give for them sure. Power.
So right, we create.
So could it be that like we're the creators and we direct the sword in which direction we
that's
want
a good
to
way to say it also.
For if we want to use it to be sitting in a field and be pointless and sit there, or we could use it to plow and to reap.
Right, right. We can choose to turn that sword into right. We could take that same kalach, the same drive of the Yitzhahara, and turn it into a way of plowing a beautiful field with valuable produce. Yeah. Yeah. It says in Pirkei Avos, it says the Bali Musar say, it says that that one of the things that's motzina sa'adam in olam is Yitzhahara. Yitzhahara is motzina sa'adam in olam. Shkayach. Yitzhahara gets you into trouble in this world, obviously. I think it was Rabbi Yerucham Levavitz from Mir, who said that no, Yitzhahara means Yitziras Hara. What does Yitziras Hara mean? It's creating Ra. Don't create problems. We have enough problems on our own. Right? Yetzahara, sometimes we're looking for trouble. Don't be looking. Trouble's going to find us plenty. We don't have to look for trouble. We don't have to make more trouble. Right? So we have to, right, we choose to make the sword into a weapon against us. Or we can use, right, we can use that, we can take it. Hakol kol Yaakov yadayim deso. That's the question, actually, the Gra asks in his writings on Chumash, on that pasuk, right? Because Chazal doesn't make sense. Hakol kol Yaakov, the voice is the voice of Yaakov, yadayim yaday Esav. And the hands are the hands of Esav. So what does the Gemara say? What does Chazal say? When the voice of Yaakov, the Medrash, when the voice of Yaakov is strong, then the hands of Esav are taken up. But that's not what it says. It says at the same time, Hakol kol Yaakov v'hayadayim yaday Esav. Right? So why are we saying it's an either-or, you know, equation? So part of it, I think, is part of the answer, is not what the Gemara says, but part of the answer, I think, is what Jack's saying, which is that when Hakol kol Yaakov, right, if we use our voice in the right way, then we can also take the Yadayim De'etz, we can take the sword and use it to build, to do something positive. The Gra answers that question, Hakol Kol Yaakov Yadayim De'etz, because Hakol Kol, the first time Kol is written is Kuf Lamed, and the second time it's Kuf Vav Lamed, right? First time it's Chaser, the second time it's Malay. So the way that the Gra learns it, that's how Chazal understood this. When the kol, kol Yaakov, when the kol which is supposed to be mole is chaser, and our voice is not strong, then yadayim yaday Esav. But if we can make the kol mole, if we can make our voice strong, then ein yadayim yaday Esav. So for sure, we have to be careful not to...
chaser first and then mole.
Yeah. So when hakol, right, when the kol Yaakov, the second is, when the kol Yaakov with a vav turns out to be kol, when it turns out to be a weak voice, then yadayim yaday Esav. That's a chazal. Needed to make this drasha. But if it would be a double mullet call, if the voice would be strong inside and out, right, remember the remez? The remez is once from the Majid Sarebi. He says the word call, the inside of the word call and the outside of the word call are actually matched up. Remember this? Kuf Vav Lamed. So Kuf Vav Lamed is 136. And if you spell out the letters, Kuf Vav Lamed, the inner letters, so kuf is a vav and a pei, is 86. Vav brings out another vav, it's 6. Hope I'm doing this right. And lamed is 44. So that's 136.
Yeah.
Right? So that's what it means. Hakol kol Yaakov. When the inner voice and the outer voice are aligned, oh, you spell the letters kuf vav lamed, when the inside letters and the outside letters are aligned. So that's when we're dominant. But if hakol is spelled chaser, the voice is not strong inside and out. If we're superficial Jews, then we're playing into the world of Sada, as opposed to the world of Yishtam Yoshev Olam. Okay? All right, I think we did okay. Baruch Hashem. I think we got the gist. That's all we can hope for when we're learning the Gra, you know? You get a little bit, you got a lot. Baruch Hashem.